Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to John 3:16. And then from there, we're going to go to John 13. And I'm going to read verses 34 and 35. Both passages I'm reading in the Passion Translation. John 3:16 and 17 says, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and rescue it." So we're rescue workers. And in John 13, Jesus said, "So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers." See, that's what one of the things that took place at the street fair. The people saw the team loving each other. And they saw that it was genuine. And yes, they get interested. They want to know. They want to be a part of it. Now, would you go with me, please, to Romans 1. Romans 1. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 in the King James Version. It reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Tell your neighbor, the just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith.
Now see, sometimes you hear the word faith and people tune out. Because they say, "We're talking about faith again?" You know, I mean, isn't there anything else in the Bible you can talk about other than faith? You know, they've read the books, they've heard the messages, they, you know, listen to the CDs, and they come to church and they want to hear a new revelation. You know, I want to see something, hear something new. I want to see something spectacular. And too many times people get drawn away into error because they're running around after the new and the spectacular. You know, God said he will do a new thing, but let it be a new thing that he does and not that someone else does just to draw a crowd. Okay? So, but you know this, but I need to share it anyway. My job isn't to wow you. You know, I'm not Greg the magician. You know, I give you now the great Gregory. No. I'm... God decided that he wanted me to be one of your pastors. And the Bible says that God will give you pastors after his own heart. And then he tells you what their job is. It's not to wow you. It's to feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's what our job is. And if it gets redundant, well, how many of you eat every day? Eating is redundant. Okay? But you keep eating. Because if you don't eat, your bodies will start to shut down. Because it doesn't have the nourishment that it needs. In Ephesians 4, would you go there, please? Ephesians 4. I'm going to share verse 11 to 12 in the Passion Translation. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. "And he, Jesus, has appointed some with grace to be apostles, and some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. And their calling," listen, "their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. That's what we're called to nurture. The nurture, according to the concordance, it's the whole training and education of children, which relates to the cultivation of mind and morals, and employs for this purpose now commands and admonitions. That means things that need to be done now, okay? It also includes reproof and punishment. In adults, it also cultivates the soul, especially by correcting mistakes and curbing passions. It is instruction which aims at increasing virtue and the chastisement and chastening of evil. So we need to say, as pastors, we say things to you that will increase your virtue and cause you to be able to cut off anything that's evil. Period. Merriam-Webster, she always has some good definitions. It says, nurture means to supply with nourishment. That's all. To educate, and I like this one, to further the development. That means we need to take you from where you are to where God wants you to be. And so since God requires that I do that, I have an obligation to say what he tells me to say. I mean, because if I say what I want you to know and not what he wants you to know, well, that may not further your development. That may hinder your development. So, yeah, we talk a lot about faith, and I'm going to talk a lot about faith, because there's a mindset that needs to be realigned, and there's an attitude that needs to be adjusted. And it's very, very, while I see it now as being very, very basic, when God told me, I was like, what are you talking about? All right. But first, I have a few basic questions that I'm going to ask. One's a three-part question. Now, I ask a question. You don't have to say amen. What if you don't have to, if you don't want to? If you do, it's okay. If you don't, it's okay. But I need you to be honest with you in the answer to these questions. Okay? You ready? First question: do we always walk in love? Okay. I guess you want to respond. Okay. Good. I like this. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're being truthful. Are we quick to forgive? Okay. Do we always do what God tells us to do according to his time frame and his specific instructions? Okay. All right. How many has ever been afraid? How many of you have ever been afraid? Anybody ever been afraid? Okay. Since you've been a believer. Okay. All right. Are we tithing according to the Bible? Wait a minute. Are we tithing according to the Bible's description? Okay. I mean, did you think about those questions? What do you think is required in order for us to always be able to answer yes to those questions? Obedience. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, rather. Verse 17, we're going on a journey here. Everyone say, I feel my development starting to stretch. Okay. Therefore, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when you think about what it means to be a new creature, everything Since you are a new creature, new, everything that had to do with the old creature, according to the Bible, is passed away. You know what that means? It doesn't exist anymore. That's what it means. And because that doesn't exist anymore, everything else has become new. Everything. So if all things, old things have passed away and all things have become new, using Deacon Ken's definition, what does all mean? Is there anything excluded from all? So that means everything about us has become new. And since that's true, there shouldn't be any evidence of there being an old me. There shouldn't be any. So when I decide to act ugly, it's because I made a conscious choice to resurrect the dead and breathe life for a time. And then when I'm ready to be holy again, I bury him. Okay? But I never let him die. Why? He kept me safe. People did not bother Foots. Period. Those that didn't know who I was when they heard my name, they were like, it's okay. We're sorry. We don't want any trouble. And it's not that I was, well, it is that I was. I just wanted to be left alone. That's all I wanted. I don't want anybody to bother me. But when I received Jesus Christ, all of those habits, everything that made me Foots, died. And Gregory became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, I still have to operate in this earth. But I can't operate based on the previous system because the person that operated on that system is now dead. So now I have to operate based on a new system because I don't have an old system anymore. That's no longer an option for me because now I have received Christ as my Savior and I am now a new creature in Christ. Let's go back to Romans 1. Still in the King James Version. I'm just going to read verse 17. Well, I'll read 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. I got to stop there for a minute. So the first thing I need to understand is the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. I shouldn't be ashamed of that. Because I am a new creature in Christ. So I should be more interested in the gospel of Christ than anything else. Because I'm not outside of Christ anymore. I am in Christ. He said, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And believeth, when you see if on the end, it means it's something you're already doing. So this is to everyone who's already believing, to the Jew first and also the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So this is letting me know that my new operating system as a believer is now faith. Faith has now replaced everything else that I used to do to survive. Everything else that I used to do to live has now been replaced by faith. It doesn't matter how strong I am, how fast I am, how hard I hit, how straight I can shoot. It doesn't, none of that matters. What matters is now, because I am just, now because I am righteous, I live by faith. And think about what it means to live. How do you live right now? What is it that gives you life right now? You're breathing. Your heart's working. Your lungs are working. And you really don't have to think about it. It just does it. Say it's involuntary. But you can choose to hold your breath. But your body is such that you cannot hold your breath to the point where your body dies. You need some help in order to do that. You know, when folks have medical issues and their body won't breathe on its own, they put you on a ventilator. You're totally dependent on that ventilator. And while you're on that ventilator, guess what you can't do? Nothing else. You can't talk, you can't eat, you can't move. You just lie there, but you can breathe. But that gives you life. Well, since our operating system now is faith, our attitude needs to be that we rely on faith to do everything we need to stay alive. And we have to become totally dependent on faith. Just like we're totally dependent on oxygen and water and food and all those other things that keep us going, because that's how we live. But we're the just. And the Bible makes it clear, if you are the just, if you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which we are, then we are to live by a new operating system. And that new operating system is called faith. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to talk about it a little later. Okay? We are righteous, right? So our operating system should reflect our righteousness. I'll get back to that. But to live by faith means to be among the living, not lifeless, not dead, to enjoy real life, to have true life worthy of the name. It means we're active, we're blessed, we're endless in the kingdom of God. It means that that we have vital power and we exert the same on our soul. So that means our operating system governs the way we think. It governs our knowledge base. Everything of that we think, our whole knowledge base is based on, knowledge base is based, I don't know how else to say it. Our knowledge is based on faith. What does that mean? I know by faith. How do you know that? I know it by faith. Why? Because the Bible says I have an unction from the Holy One and I know all things. So by faith I know it. Well, what is it? Well, I don't need to know it right now. But when the time comes and I need to know, I will know. Amen. Just like I knew how to use those construction terms that I never heard of before in my life. I knew it by faith. Why? Because it's my new operating system. Living by faith means we're active, we're powerful, we're fresh, we're strong. We're active, we're endless in the kingdom of God. We're no longer dead. Everybody said, that's a good one. Okay. But as new creatures in Christ, all we need is faith in what Jesus said. Period. Nothing else matters. How you feel about what he said doesn't matter. One of the things that amazes me is that when I first was, I decided to be disobedient to God and join the Ministries of Helps as a host. Because God said, join the youth fellowship. And I was like, I know you're up high, but you must be high. And I said, but you want me to serve, so I'll join the hosts. Well, I noticed something about the application that I never forgot. It just stuck with me. It said, will you follow the instructions of the leadership even if you don't understand or agree? I had to stop and think about that because I know how I used to be. And if I think I'm right, unless you can show me where I'm wrong, I'm going with right. And I learned, I said, no, it's the key word here was leadership. I said, if I won't submit to the leadership, then I am in rebellion to the leadership. So I answered, yes. And everybody that's in the Ministries of Helps answered yes to that question. But some folks stopped serving because it's something they were asked to do that they don't understand. I'm like, but you said, you know, and I understand why that question was put there. Because I'm sure, I'm positive that when Joshua told his troops, walk around the city out in the open where the archers can pick you off one at a time, don't say anything. Just walk. How long are you going to make us do this? I think he said 7 days. 7 days? No. No. It made no sense. It was not a sound military tactic. But that's what God said. So that's what Joshua said. And his soldiers obeyed him. And look at the success they had. I always try and imagine what would have happened if one person said, I'm not doing this, wrecks the whole agreement, and you could get a different outcome. But are you still in Romans 1? Okay, I'm going to share it in the Phillips translation because it says something a little differently. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I see it as the very power of God working for the salvation of everyone who believes it, both Jew and Greek. I see in it God's plan for imparting righteousness to men, a process begun and continued by their faith. For as the scripture says, the just shall live by faith. So we have to understand that faith is an entirely different operating system and it's based on an entirely different set of parameters. You know, with electronics, you have Windows and you have Apple. And the two systems are not compatible. Now, you can create workarounds, but you have to go out of your way to do something different to make an Apple app work on a Windows system. Is that not so? Right? You have to go out of your way. In that same way, because we now have a different operating system, we have to go out of our way to try and serve two masters. And when we do that, we're really wasting our time because the Bible is clear. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. So that means in order for me to act up, because I'm the only one in the room that acts up, okay, in order for me to act up, I have to make a conscious choice to walk away from my righteousness, to do what I want to do, and hope that I make it back to repent. But this isn't done by accident. These are conscious choices that I need to make because I've chosen a different operating system, but I want to still have some of the old stuff. We didn't let it die. I'm just, I live by faith, period. No matter what, I don't have any other options. That's the way we need to look at it, because faith requires that we are totally, absolutely dependent on the Word of God, regardless of what comes. Period. So, Pastor, are you saying I shouldn't go to the doctor? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you should go to God and find out from God what you should do. If he says, go to the doctor, ask him which one.
That's right.
And he'll tell you. But don't make up your own mind. Sometimes, oh, I better go do this. I better go. You don't operate like that anymore. That's the old operating system based on your, on our limited knowledge. You do understand that no matter how educated you are, your knowledge is limited. You do understand that. Okay. And so when we choose not to operate in faith, we're operating based on our own understanding. What if we misunderstood? Then what? In Hebrews 12, verse 2, translation, Passion Translation. It says, we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. See, Jesus is the one that birthed faith in us when we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. And as we remain obedient, it leads us into perfection. But what happens, you know, on our journey to perfection, there's some things that come up that we don't like. And so we leave the path of perfection to the path of the past. Before we became new creatures. So we want a new life based on an old set of operating rules. It doesn't work. It just does not work. So when we'll look back at our questions. If we're truly living by our new operating system, we'll always walk in love. We will never encounter anyone worthy of our disdain. Well, no one. No matter what anyone does, we can always and will always walk in the God kind of love. No matter what someone does, we will be quick to forgive. Why? Because the word says forgive as quickly and completely as Jesus for Christ's sake forgave us. As God for Christ's sake forgave us. We'll do what God, when we are faith, when faith is, when we've really adopted it as our operating system, we'll do what God says, when he says, and how he says. And we can add for as long as he says. And won't even think about, or I should say, won't allow thoughts to linger that suggest we do something else. Because the thoughts are going to come. Let me take a side journey here. Something came out of my mouth when we were having Bible study on Friday. I heard myself say, too many of us damage our faith trying to pray away circumstances. Trying to pray away what are the persecutions and tribulations. You say, well, how does that damage your faith? Because Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have them. And you're like, yeah, I heard what you said, but I don't like that. So God, take these away. No, Jesus gave us the example in the garden. Father, if you're willing, take this away. If not, your will, not mine. But we will, Jesus said, the thief comes. He comes. He didn't say the thief might. Now listen, the thief may show up. And if he shows up, he's coming. He said, no, the thief comes. Now, if you have F-A-I-T-H, you don't have to worry about A-D-T. But when the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, because of your new operating system, you have life and you have it more abundantly. But when the thief comes and you pull out Remington or something else, you may still have life. But what type of life now you're going to have? We have a new operating system, folks. It's called faith. And we need to understand how to walk in it. So when God gives us some instructions, we're going to do what he says, and we're going to stop doubting whether or not it's going to work. Of course you've never done it before. That's why it's new. If it wasn't new, you'd be used to it. But it's new. God said, behold, I do a new thing. Will you understand it? What does he want us to understand? That it's new. He knows it's something you've never done before. He knows that already. Why would God ask us to do something? God doesn't set us up to fail. He doesn't have that camera and go, well, watch this. He doesn't do that. If he told you to do it, he's equipped you to do it. He's saying, well, I don't see the equipment. That's because you're not doing anything. See, when I step out and do the things God tells me to do, I don't see the equipment. I see the results.
There you go.
You need to stop looking for the means and start focusing on the results. That's all. Just think about the results that you're going to have because you're doing what God told you to do. You're not going to have any questions. I want you to go to the Philippines. How am I going to get there? Where's the money going to come from? I don't know anybody in the Philippines. Let me check. I don't have enough money for a round trip ticket. You know, I told you to go to the Philippines. I didn't say go to the Philippines and come back. So you go to the Philippines, or you go to Russia, or you go to Nanuet, or you go to wherever God sends you, and stop thinking about how am I going to get back? Who says you're coming back?
Yeah.
You folks go to Bible school and say, when I come back from Rhema, excuse me, who said you were coming back? How do you know God's not going to make you an instructor? Or send you to another country or another state? You make, it's not that we don't want you to come back. You know, we're not trying to get rid of you. But we have a new operating system. And that operating system is not dependent on all our questions being answered. The operating system is dependent on one thing. What is it? I'm going to get to it. Okay. We're building up to it. Okay. Now, we need to find out, we have a new operating system. And just like I said with electronics, It's not that I was a Windows person, but every computer I had was Windows-based. So I was used to Windows. Well, now I have a Mac. And I have to get used to Mac. It operates differently. I don't like its Word. I don't like Pages. I like Word. But I don't like Pages. But Pages comes with the operating system, so I love it. So I take the time to learn how to work within it, because it sets a new set of parameters. It's not the same as Word. And I think, well, Word is easier. Well, it's easier because I was using it for so many years. When I first started with Word, I felt the same way. In Galatians 5, because we have this new operating system, it's called faith, we need to understand how it works. And I know we think we understand how it works, but we really don't. And that's not a negative. That just means we need to be brought a little further. Galatians 5, begin with verse 5, says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which does what? Worketh by love." See, it's not rituals that operate or activate our faith. It is love. The Passion Translation, listen to this, says, "But the Holy Spirit convinces us that we have received by faith the glorious righteousness of the Anointed One. When you're placed in the Anointed One and joined to Him, circumcision and religious obligations can benefit you nothing. All that matters now is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection." How? By love. So according to that passage of scripture, what activates your faith? What brings it to perfection? So there has to be a clear connection between faith and love. Is that right?
Yes.
You can say amen to that?
Yes.
Do we understand that we cannot live by faith if we're not operating in love?
Yes.
We understand that.
Yes.
Okay. Has anybody other than me ever wondered why it appears sometimes that your faith took a vacation? And you believe you're believing, but things just don't seem to be happening. And we're wondering what's going on, because like, I'm believing, but there's no evidence. That I don't see any results. Well, I'm about to tell you. And if you're looking for an exciting and new revelation, and you would tune me out, tune back in now. Okay. Okay, because when I understood this, then I understood why it seems sometimes that my faith ain't working. Now, as I say sometimes, you may want to take a moment, fan yourself, take a deep breath. Okay. You know, if you have that kind of relationship with your neighbor, take the hand, say it's going to be all right. If you don't know your neighbor, just say, just stay with it. Okay. Remember I said earlier that we are righteous, so our operating system should reflect our righteousness. Remember when I said that? We live by faith. Faith works by love. How do we know that we're operating in love? According to God's definition. How do we know? Turn to John 14, please. I'm passionate about this, so I'm reading it in the Passion Translation. Okay. All right. John 14, verse 21, Passion Translation. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. Then one of the disciples named Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, why is it that you will only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? Jesus replied, loving me empowers you to obey my word. Jesus said, loving me empowers you to obey my word. So if you are loving the way God says love, you are obeying what God says you're to obey. Because if you are not obeying, then that means you are not loving. And if you are not loving, your faith isn't activated. And if your faith isn't activated, you're operating in your own understanding. And you're not operating according to this new operating system. Because it's faith worketh by love, which is shown by obedience. If there's no obedience, there's no love, there ain't no faith. You have to, it's very important that you ask yourself, that's why those questions, you know, am I doing everything God told me, the way he told me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because if you are not, then it's showing a lack of love, which is de-energizing your faith. And you're not seeing any results. And you don't understand why. See, faith just doesn't work by, it's not just love, obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And the footnote to that is that love for Christ is proven and demonstrated by our obedience to all that he says. The emphasis is on all. In John, listen to this. In John 15, verse 10, he said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then I got to John 14 in the Passion Translation, where he says, loving me empowers you to obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you, the Passion says another Savior, but we know it's another Comforter, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me. And he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you will know him intimately because he will make his home in you and will live inside you. And I realize that that's all based on the condition that we are obedient to what Jesus tells us to do. So let's look at it from the other end. If we are disobedient to the commands from Jesus, he's not going to send us a comforter. And if we don't have the Holy Ghost to guide us into all truth, we're left to our own understanding. Why settle for that when we have so much more available to us in this new operating system? Faith. And we know how it works. If you don't demonstrate love, we don't get the guidance we need. So when you think about this, if you're like me, I think about all these things. It generates another question. Is it really worth it to walk out of love? Is it really worth it to walk in unforgiveness? Is it really worth it to do what I want to do, the way I want to do it, when I want to do it, and just negate what God said? You know, is it worth it to walk? Why would I want to walk around afraid when by faith I have the victory? What difference does it make? Why should I care what comes? Jesus said, there's no temptation taking me except that which is common. So nothing that's never happened to anybody will ever happen to me. If it happened to me, other people have gone through it. But he said, God is faithful, and he will not allow me to be tempted above that which I'm able to bear. So before I face anything, if he's not in any shape, form, or imagination, but if Moses were my adversary, come on, Moses, and he's on a mission to harm me, by the time he comes to me, God has already removed all of his capabilities to overcome me. So I could stand and face him and go through him and not even concern myself with him, because God said, I'm not going to be tempted against that which I'm able to bear. Thank you, Moses. He's not against me in any way. He's not. But we need to understand that, folks. And I know I've said this before. People, they'll say to me, they'll call in a crisis. I say, calm down. Why are you excited? I didn't know this was going to happen. And I say this not trying to be cruel or being funny. I say, would you have felt better had you known? And they get quiet, and they say, no. I said, so let's erase that one. There's no need to get upset about that. It happened. Jesus said things were going to happen. He said, before he told us things were going to happen, what did he say? I'm telling you this so that in me you will have perfect peace. One translation says perfect peace and confidence. Now someone says, I'm going to tell you something so that you'll have perfect peace. In this world, you will have tribulation. You're like, thanks a lot. Okay. But when the tribulation comes, it's like, he said it was coming. All right, God, how am I supposed to handle this? And he'll tell you what to do. But you have to be, see, we can't wait. We can't do what we want to do. And it's kind of like the lyrics to the song Pastor Clinton wrote. It's the condition I put in the system to keep you on course. Yeah, so, all right. It's my decision to resist temptation and make your will and mine the same. See, I'm the one. That God's not good. I am the one. I have to make my will. That's why Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. Why did he say that? He loved God. And he was going to be obedient to God, even though it meant he was about to be tortured and murdered. He said, do I want to do this? It's not my idea of a great day. But if this is your will, Father, let's go with it. And he didn't complain. He wasn't up there on the cross railing on the people. He wasn't. He wasn't. You know something? After what you did to me, you come down from the cross. Okay, I'm coming down. Now you're all going to hell. I mean. But he stayed because he loved God and he loved us. So he was obedient because he loved. And because he loved, his faith was activated. He believed that God would do exactly what he said. Yes. See, there's no doubt. When you're in obedience, there's no doubt. When you're in disobedience, there's doubt because you're afraid of getting caught. And you start wondering, what's going to happen when they catch me? But there's no fear in love. The Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. Cast it out. So we have a new operating system that makes it possible for us to walk through this life unafraid, not being terrorized by fear. And all we have to do is take the time to learn how to use it. I'm almost done. 1 Samuel. First time I heard Pastor Sarah share this, my eyes popped open. Samuel was given the orders to kill everything living. I mean, that's Saul. Everything. Don't leave anything alive. Okay. Verse 21. 15. First Samuel 15. Here in the King James in the Message. It said, but the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things, I mean the best of the things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Now mind you, they say they took them because we're going to have a ritualistic sacrifice to God. You might say, well, that's a good thing. That ain't what God said. So I don't care how good it sounds, if it's not what God said, it's wrong. It's rebellion. And Samuel said, hath the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Behold, thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. See, when we are disobedient, we are rejecting the word of the Lord. And in turn, he has also rejected thee from being king. So if I reject God, then I can just forget about everything God said I was going to become. Because everything I'm to become is dependent on my obedience, which shows my love, which activates my faith, which empowers me to do everything I need to do so I can achieve what God wants me to achieve. The Message Bible, says that Saul defended himself. He said, what are you talking about? I did obey God. I did the job God set for me. I brought in King Agag and destroyed the Amalekites under the terms of the holy ban. So the soldiers, I can picture him. So the soldiers saved a few of the choice sheep and cattle, and the holy ban, for sacrifice to God. What's wrong with that? Come on. We killed everybody else. All right. And Samuel said, do you think all God wants are sacrifices, empty rituals just for show? He wants you to listen to him. Plain listening is the thing. Not staging a lavish religious production. Not doing what God tells you is far worse than fooling around in the occult. Does that make it plain? Okay. Getting self-important about God is far worse than making deals with your dead ancestors. Because you said no to God's command, he says no to your kingship. Folks, I got to tell you this part. That Hebrew word for obey is the word shama. Know what it means? To hear intelligently. When you are obedient, you are hearing intelligently. God is telling us, because we have the mind of Christ, we're intelligent beings. So obeying him shouldn't be an issue. And if it's an issue, it's because we choose to act in an unintelligent manner. And I say this with no disrespect, but the word that's defined as to act in an unintelligent manner is stupid. That's what stupid means, to act in an unintelligent manner. Stupid does not mean you don't know what to do. That means you're ignorant, and that's not a bad thing, because ignorant can be cured by education. You know, ignorant isn't a fatal disease. Okay. Stupid means you know what you're supposed to do. You know what's going to happen. Well, let me make it this way. How many of you have been spanked for doing something wrong? Right? Yeah, as a child. How many of you enjoyed the spanking? Look forward to another one. Well, have you ever been spanked for the same thing? Why? You knew if you did it, what was going to happen. You've already experienced the results of it once, and it wasn't pleasant. Why would you do it again? Stupid. I mean, I'm trying to make this as plain as we can, because I want you to get this. Faith is not a magician. You know, we've gotten pulled off track, you know, concentrating too much on name it and claim it. By faith is mine and I receive it. I'm not saying that's not true, but it has to be based on your love for God and your obedience to do what he said. I'm convinced the only reason God keeps me is because I'm doing what he says. I'm convinced of that. And I'm not going to stand in front of you and say other thoughts don't come into my head. They do. And I say, yeah, and if I do that, I'll be walking up one day and next thing you know, you'll be planning my memorial service or something. You know, I'm like, no. No. He said, say exactly what I tell you to say. Don't pull any punches or I'll pull you from the lineup. That's what he said. And that's what he means. So I'm going to say what he tells me to say. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. And if I miss it, I'm going to repent. But I'm not going to plan to miss it. I'm not going to come up with a long, drawn-out plan so I can do what I want to do and then run back. Our righteousness, since we are righteous, our operating system should reflect our righteousness. Since we are righteous, we should be obedient. Whatever God says is fine with us, period. Because that's what demonstrates that we love God. That's what will activate our faith. And our faith is what will empower us. I was reading one translation that said, faith is that explosive power. And I thought about in Ephesians 6, verse 10, where it talked about that we were infused with explosive power. And I said, that explosive power is faith. Because faith, there isn't anything that faith can't take down. Anything. But you have to love according to God's definition. And you have to obey according to God's definition. We have to stop redefining the parameters of our operating system. You know, it's like, what is that thing you do with cell phones so you can program, put something in it that shouldn't be there? What is it?
Jailbreak.
Yeah, jailbreak. We have to stop trying to jailbreak the word so we can do what we want and just be obedient to what God tells you to do. Say, faith works by love.
Faith works by love.
Love is demonstrated,
by obedience.
So if I'm not obedient,
I don't love,
I have no faith,
and I'm stuck
with my own understanding. You understand? I'm going to unhook. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if you're excited. I don't know if it was entertaining. I don't know if it wowed you, but I believe that it helped move you further along. You know, and that's my job, is to help you move further along. So, Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and the praise. Thank you, Lord, for sharing your word with us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the understanding. And Lord, as we spend time during the next few days and weeks just meditating on the things you've said today, we thank you that your Holy Spirit will show us the areas that are lacking. And when you show them to us, Lord, we will do what we need to do to fix them. Right? We know just waiting for you to do it isn't going to help because you've already done it. We're not going to wait for you to because you're still working with us. No, you've finished working with. You said when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." So that means you're done working with us, and now you have expectations of us, and those expectations are that we are obedient to that which you have already said. We thank you, Lord, because we want to be powerful witnesses for you. We want to enlarge and build up the body of Christ. And we thank you for trusting us with your word. And Lord, again, whatever it is in us that may be off, even the slightest amount, we're just asking you to reveal it by your spirit. We probably already know it anyway, but you highlight it by your spirit. And we will make the necessary corrections immediately. Thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, is there anyone here and you've never received Jesus as your Savior? Never asked him to come into your heart. Never invited him to come and live in you. That's step one. Because if you don't, the way you gain access, the way you download this new operating system is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then once it's downloaded, then you go about learning how to operate within it. You learn, as they say in the natural, all the bells and whistles. You learn what works, what doesn't work. You learn what you've become and who you no longer are. You'll understand that old things are passed away and all things have become new. So if you've never done that, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to stand and come and meet me right down here. All I'm going to do is lead you in a confession.